You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Chris Carter here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I've got Brian Batko of the Steelers beat here with me. We're going to talk about a few different things, but I want to lead with, are the Steelers just bad at developing quarterbacks? That question pokes his head up, even with Justin Fields now on the roster, when you look at Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph and their time in Pittsburgh. That, more look at draft visits, and a look at maybe who the Steelers should have taken in the 2022 draft if it wasn't Kenny Pickett. All here and more on the North Shore Drive podcast. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive Podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive Podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batko on the Steelers beat here, and we are here talking about all things Steelers here. We got a few different angles we want to get into, but as always, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today to experience over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are local. 80 of those local beers are available on tap. We'll have more on them later. Brian, I lead with this question to you because this is an interesting conversation right now about how things have kind of played out for the Steelers.
Are you talking about a Pittsburgh? You were just with a Pittsburgh coach who won one championship early in his tenure with his team, and then underachieved a lot with plenty of talent on his roster, and has just got bounced from the postseason tournament in the first game for however many consecutive years now. Wait, we're talking about John Calipari.
Yes,
Kentucky basketball, not anybody else. But listen, also, I'll just keep it real with you. I've got the we're recording this Thursday night late. I've got the stream of like the four games that are going on right now, in front of me. So terrible. If I space out at any point, I am paying attention to March Madness. I was keeping a buck with you, Carter.
I appreciate you keeping it a buck with me. I was out there for the first three games. I had to leave NC State, Texas Tech to do this show with you, and here you are enjoying it anyways.
DJ but Burns, you've probably already seen him in person once.
Three times already.
But great day of basketball, and you guys were there for a lot of it at PPG Paints Arena, and we'll be back on Saturday with more coverage. And obviously, Abby Schnabel, shout out to her covering Duquesne hoops.
The Duquesne
hoops. Out in Omaha. How many people have covered them for the Post-Gazette in the last four or some decades? And Abby comes along and gets the NCAA tournament appearance and the win. So it's been a fun march.
Every team she's covered, apparently, that's been in a conference tournament has won that conference tournament. So, I mean,
you get her on the Steelers.
That certainly would be interesting.
Maybe but win a playoff game.
Let's talk about the Steelers real quick here, and let's talk about the quarterback situation, because Justin Fields is a guy who now there's some people saying he should start over Russell Wilson, or the goal should be to develop him in place of Russell Wilson and all these other things. But then there's the question about how the Steelers have handled Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph, who are their most recent quarterbacks that they've drafted in the higher rounds. Didn't end well here. Mason Rudolph was drafted in the third round, obviously had some, not great times with Ben Roethlisberger. And then, his time with the Steelers kind of was all over the place. He was never given a chance to actually earn a starting job for the Steelers. And then Kenny Pickett comes in and he has, a terrible offensive coordinator situation. He has, an offensive line that didn't really start to get good until the second half of the year this year. And a lot of other problems that fixed in. And then by the time that Matt Canada's gone, the offensive line's playing better, he gets injured and then never gets a chance to play again. And so now it looks like that the Steelers missing out on two guys. Merrill Hodge was out there speaking earlier this week about how he thinks the Steelers, are missing out on a guy who he feels still has a lot left in the tank and can prove to be a good NFL quarterback in Kenny Pickett. Brian, are the Steelers just bad at developing quarterbacks, or is this just part of the process when you're a team that doesn't have the franchise quarterback and you're taking your swings?
Well, I think it's too early to say, but early returns aren't good. It's a small sample size to this point, right? Because Mike Tomlin and this whole era of Steelers football has been defined by Ben for the most part. Yeah. He inherited Ben Roethlisberger, who had already won one ring. He obviously helped him win a second and vice versa. And then he rode it out for a long time with a long tenured quarterback who's going to be in Canton, most likely the first chance that he gets to be on that ballot. So we knew this going into the 2022 season after Ben, you know, hung it up. Maybe he stayed too long. Maybe he didn't. Your mileage may vary on that take, but we knew either way that this was going to be the, you know, new frontier for the Steelers under Tomlin. And he's been asked about it plenty. He talked about it plenty that offseason that he was, you know, there was a certain level of trepidation, but also excitement for him to navigate those waters. You know, he had a brief audition with it in 2019 when Ben went down with the elbow injury. But this was his chance to really kind of reset and show that he could be that shepherd of the next generation. And that was going to start at the quarterback position in a big way. And it just hasn't gone well at all thus far. I mean, any way you slice it, incumbent in Mason Rudolph, I don't think any of that really made a ton of sense because he didn't get a shot. Like you said, that 2022 training camp competition, yep, at least for Rudolph, was a farce. I mean, he was stuck in the third string role and never really got out of it. And then it turned out by the end of his tenure here, it was the best quarterback play that they've gotten since Ben. Free agent-wise, Mitch Trubisky, swing and a miss, big time. And Kenny Pickett, you know, going to the draft route, that also lasted just 2 years. So it's not looking great thus far, but it's too difficult for me to say, is this a Steelers failing or is this just a snapshot, a glimpse of what you alluded to there, Chris, that everybody's trying to nail that in the NFL. And, you know, there's only 6 to 10 elite quarterbacks at one time in this league.
You know, I want to point to, you know, one email I got from one of our readers, and shout out to everyone who does contact us. We always like interacting with you guys. Thank you so much, especially the ones that are nice and being respectful.
My reply rate on nice emails is like, it's probably 90-95%. So
yeah,
always never hesitate to reach out.
Right, same.
You can definitely disagree if you want, but just don't come in talking crazy, basically.
Right. You can think I'm wrong with the situation, but just don't talk to me like don't bring disrespect. Otherwise, I'm just never going to respond to your email, and I'll block your email address and never hear from you again. But what I was going to say was, there was one person who emailed me and said, like, it's un-Steeler-like the way the Steelers have not developed their quarterbacks of late. And it made me think about it, like, you look back over the Steelers' history, what's their history of developing quarterbacks? I mean, Ben Roethlisberger was a rookie quarterback who was obviously going to be the guy. They spent 1.5 games without him, put him in, and then he never looked back and was always the starter. And I'd say they developed him, like, once he became the starter, you know, I think his best development came under Tomlin once they put in Todd Haley. I mean, the early years of Tomlin and Roethlisberger, 2007 was like one of his best years ever. And then once Haley came in, you saw Ben Roethlisberger, you know, evolve to a whole different complete package level. But you go back before Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, anyone who's anyone will tell you that Bill Cowher mismanaged the Cordell Stewart situation. Like, he tried to force him to be a pocket passer. He tried to make him do things that weren't in his skill set and lean away from the things that were in his skill set that made him dangerous, the very things that are making Lamar Jackson dangerous. And, you know, that may that have cost the Steelers big chances to win with some of those teams in the late 90s and the early 2000s? Probably. And it's something that you could go back through time after time, all the quarterbacks that came between Bradshaw and Roethlisberger and the mistakes there. And so I pose this to you, Brian, is this uncharacteristic of the Steelers to do this? Or is this just, again, kind of what applies to a lot of teams? If you don't have the guy, this is the stuff that you go through. You swing and you miss.
I just feel like it doesn't really matter that much. I mean, the ancient history that you bring up there, you know, it's new head coach, new GM, new team president. I mean, the right. Family ownership's the same. The Rooneys are the only through line there. But back in those days, the last time the Steelers were searching for their next franchise quarterback, Art Rooney II was not in the you know, position of power that he is now. So my point is just that it's all different. And we didn't know going into the next phase of Steelers quarterback play post Ben, how Mike Tomlin would handle that. Mike Tomlin didn't know how Mike Tomlin was going to handle that. He's never had to. I mean, that's the whole, you know, conceit of dealing with uncharted waters, to use that cliche, is that you just, if it's an unprecedented thing, you have no really manual on how to go about that. So, I mean, it's difficult for sure. They, you know, they kind of did it the most simple, direct way by, let's go get the bridge guy in Trubisky. Let's also just draft right away, especially because the first quarterback off the board fell into our lap at number 20. We didn't have to make a move up. We didn't have to do anything silly to get the guy. And yet, you know, it didn't pan out for them or anybody in the 2022 quarterback draft class, except for the Niners and Brock Purdy. Like you said, we might get into that a little bit later. But yeah, I mean, at least for now, they're going in a completely different direction with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And it almost seems like with these two moves in conjunction, maybe the Steelers' brain trust is saying, okay, evaluating quarterbacks, that's a crapshoot. We'll just look at the other 31 teams. They have all stumbled upon issues in that regard for the most part, except for perhaps the Packers. Let's just squeeze as much value out of them as we can. And if we hit, great. If we don't, at least it won't cost us a first rounder or, you know, 30 some million dollars. So I get what Omar Khan's doing there from an analytical perspective, for sure. We'll see if the X's and O's work out.
We'll see how that works out. But I also want to look at what they're doing right now with this draft class. We'll talk about some of the visits that they've put together on the schedule and who those players are and what it says more about their draft plans here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Brian Batko. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, it's right in the North Shore on Federal Street across the street from PNC Park. You go to Mike's Beer Bar, they're going to have 500 different available beers, 300 local beers, and 80 of those local beers available on tap. And you can enjoy all of them while you're watching your Duquesne Dukes, who, by the way, Mike of Mike's Beer Bar, big Duquesne Dukes guy. And they have over 20 televisions, so you can enjoy them from any angle that you want. So Saturday, when Duquesne's taking on Illinois, you want to root them on, and you can't get to Omaha, Nebraska, your best place is Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. And also, they have great food like steak on a stone, where you get your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone, where every single piece you cut off, you press into the stone, you choose how well done you want every single bite of your steak. All at Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Brian Batko, talking Steelers here. Brian, let's talk about some of the latest visits the Steelers have had in their top 30 draft visits. On March 19th, Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver out of Florida, largely projected as a second-round pick, made his visit with the Steelers. And then March 21st, yesterday, Oregon State's Talisa Fuaga, big offensive tackle, one of the top-rated guys in this class. He takes a visit along with Georgia State's offensive tackle, Travis Glover, and South Carolina wide receiver, Xavier Leggett. The biggest name of this group is Fuaga. He's the consistently highest, you know, one of the higher-rated offensive tackles. Some have him as the third best behind Joe Alton, Olufoshanu. But you look at this, you see two receivers who are like second-round-ish guys. When you look at their value right now across the board, what do these visits tell you about who the Steelers are looking at, what they're planning on, and what they want to get in this draft class?
Yeah, I mean, starting with the receivers, I don't think they'll take one in the first round. I could be wrong, but I've always thought that second and third round range is is the appropriate target, and especially so after dealing away Deontay Johnson to the Panthers. I think your roles are going to be pretty clearly defined if you bring a guy in there on day two of the draft, you know, have him slot behind George Pickens in the pecking order, and still get a pretty good player based on how deep this group is. So that those two guys, I like both of them. I think Leggett is more of an outside guy, and also he went viral a little bit this week, Chris. I don't know if you saw that. His accent is very Southern country thick.
So, I missed it.
A lot of draft Twitter people were having fun with Xavier Leggett's accent, South Carolina Gamecocks receiver. You type it in, it'll probably come up. And he was making the rounds. It is a cool voice, but he's also a cool player. He's big and physical, mm-hmm. and was extremely productive down in Columbia. And Pearsall transferred from Arizona State to Florida. I think guys like that, maybe you want to bring them in sometimes, get a little bit better feel for how you were used at different stops, maybe why you had a couple different stints in college, why it took you 5 years to truly blossom and become a legitimate draft prospect. But, he can make some acrobatic catches. He can be a reliable target underneath. I really like him, and he tested well athletically at the combine, which was a question hovering over him to some extent. And then the lineman, I mean, I'm mainly talking about Taliesa Fuaga, Oregon State guy. I think just logistically, Steelers, it makes sense to bring in some of those West Coast guys for visits. You're not always going to go out there for the pro day.
Right.
There was a lot made that they didn't go out to Jackson Powers Johnson's pro day, but they were all over him at the Senior Bowl. So they're clearly very familiar with him and his makeup. So with Fuaga, might just make sense to get him in your building, get some extra time with him if you're legitimately considering him in round one. And, you know, based on all the O-line gurus out there, seems like you should, because he's probably a plug-and-play guy, and including it right tackle, where the Steelers might need an immediate starter.
Yeah, and I think it's also a key position. They need a guy to fill there so that they can have Broderick Jones on the left, and they don't have to worry about Dan Moore at right, and they can put another really good player on the right side who can also be on the cheap for some years. That's the other part of drafting a guy there, that you can, if you get him in the first round, like Broderick Jones, then all of a sudden you get two guys that you're paying rookie deals for the next 4 years until, you know, you get their fifth year extension, and then you deal with that problem then. But you can also develop them, and there's a lot to be had there. And that's why I think that the Steelers getting a Fuaga in the first round makes a lot of sense if you're going to make that move.
And maybe this is a little reductive, but I feel like Fuaga is in this tackle class, maybe has the higher floor. Whereas guys like JC Latham from Alabama and Amarius Mims from Georgia, mm-hmm. more bust potential, but higher ceiling based on some of their athletic traits, being a little bit younger, more inexperienced. So that's kind of how I view the two tiers of tackles who could be realistic options for the Steelers in round one.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And I think there's the Steelers are looking for guys that are going to come in. And also, like, I think part of this is I think they want guys that fit what they're trying to do off the field as well, like locker room type guys who are going to be people that can kind of lead by example and then grow into leaders. And I don't know if Fuaga is that, but
he's a very high character guy coming out of Oregon State. So that certainly helps. That's a good box to check for them.
And I think that's something that they're looking for right now. They want to have guys who they don't have to worry too much about. They take on guys that you work with. That comes with everybody. But I think that right now the Steelers, they it would behoove them to make sure that they got guys who fit their system, but also fit their culture without shaking it up.
He also has a connection. I think he's trained with Isaac Seumalo, another former Beav from Oregon State. So that's not bad either. He'd probably be on the other side of Seumalo, but there'd be a connection there right off the bat.
Certainly, there'd be a connection right away. So I totally hear that entirely. I look at these visits. What's your opinions on I know the answer of who your top second round wide receiver. That's Roman Wilson. You and I have talked about him. We both like him.
I think that's who I have. Can't remember if I took Ladd McConkey off my PG big board, just thinking he's not going to be there when the Steelers are on the clock, but he and Wilson are sort of neck and neck for me. And then I've got Pearsall in the mix. Leggett is somebody who, you know, I don't know that he's quite in that category for me, because I think right now with the depth chart they have at receiver, it makes sense to get somebody who might be a little bit more of a separator and can move the chains underneath, but got to do a little bit more studying on Leggett now that he's come in for a visit, for sure.
We'll certainly do that over some time. When we come back, I want to ask Brian a question about what the Steelers could have done with Kenny Pickett's draft pick in the year that he was selected. Now that Kenny Pickett's no longer an Eagle, safe to say that was a bust. We'll talk more about that here on the North Shore Drive podcast from Chris Carter and Brian Batko. We'll be right back. Back here in the North Shore Drive podcast on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Brian Batko. Brian, we look back to the 2022 NFL draft. Life was simple then. We were just coming out of COVID. We had no idea what the Steelers quarterback situation was about to be for the next 3 years. I guess even 2 years. Didn't even make it full 2 years before this got switched up. But the Steelers ended up taking Kenny Pickett 20th overall in that draft. And now that he's been traded away, it's safe to say that pick did not work. But some people want to know what would have been the best pick they could have made there instead of Kenny Pickett. And this has to be like a reasonable person, because it can't be, you know, why didn't you just pick that seventh round guy like Brock Purdy?
Mr. Irrelevant. Why didn't you see the future and know that Mr. Irrelevant was going to be playing for the Super Bowl in his second season?
Exactly. But then you look down the list, you look at other guys who've been, you know, who come after Kenny Pickett and who kind of work fit this scenario. And the first guy that comes off the list here is the literally next pick is Trent McDuffie, the cornerback for the Chiefs. And my goodness, I was just like, imagine this team with Trent McDuffie and Joey Porter Jr. They're a problem. Also, the Chiefs might not have another Super Bowl right now without Trent McDuffie. You know, just looking at his contributions. And then you got Tyler Linderbaum at center, which could have solved a lot, you know, a major hole in the Steelers offensive line. And there's other guys in this group too, but you Brian
Linderbaum with Creed Humphrey in back-to-back years. And it's just come on. I think I just talked myself into betting a hefty sum on the Steelers taking Jackson Powers Johnson in the first round this year, but we've still got a long way to go till draft day.
We do have a long way to go, but let's go over just those names. Looking at those guys, Trent McDuffie and Tyler Linderbaum, and going over, you know, what could have happened with Kenny Pickett. I think that the Steelers, they gave him a shot, but it obviously didn't work. And it is one of those things, if you go back and say, we're good, you take a Trent McDuffie right now. You take a Tyler Linderbaum right now. Heck, you might take a Tyler Smith, who was taken by the Cowboys in that situation.
I mean, he's played tackle and guard for them. So, yep. I mean, it's this ties into what we talked about in the first segment too, Chris. I mean, Kenny Pickett, I just figured he might not work out as an NFL quarterback for the Steelers, but I never thought it was going to end with this amount of mess and drama on our hands.
Right,
Clearly, the Steelers didn't either. I mean, you go back and read and listen to Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin from draft night, and even Kenny, he seemed to be in a great place mentally as far as knowing what to expect from the scrutiny that was going to be heaped on him from snap one with the Steelers. And yet, I don't know if it was a case of Steelers did him wrong, or was Kenny more of, you know, more entitled and not the guy that we thought he was in terms of his football character. I don't know. It's hard to say. We might never have a great answer to that, but you know, the optics for him are not good. And it like, even if the Steelers are right in sort of moving on from him this quickly, and it was a case of this guy was, you know, for lack of a better word, a punk when it all came down to tough decisions being made by people who are paid to win games, still doesn't reflect well on the Steelers, because that's why you do your due diligence in the draft process and vet all these players. And seemed like the guy from right next door would be the easiest one to nail in that regard. And yet, yeah, here we are talking about him not even spending two calendar years with that team. So with Kenny, obviously a bad pick at the time, a bad pick now, not necessarily at the time. I do remember thinking, though, like, deep down, do the Steelers hope that Kenny's gone before 20? Does Kenny hope that, obviously Kenny he went first overall, but did they hope that he would be gone so they wouldn't have to make that call? Because imagine the alternate reality where they don't pick him, and who knows what he would have done in his first 2 years with the Saints or the Falcons or the Commanders, whatever. But McDuffie, if you had him and Joey Porter Jr. as your corners right now, that would be a nice pairing, no doubt about it. If you had Tyler Linderbaum at center, that didn't make as much sense when they drafted him because they had just signed Mason Cole, but it would have been more of a bridge or stopgap, or just a backup from the beginning, or starting guard or something. So that's another one that you kick yourself, not just kick yourself for missing, but the Ravens got him, and he looks like he's a starter for them for a decade, whooping on you in the trenches when they established their run game. So those are two names for sure. And, but I'll say this, though, like in defense of the Steelers, that year in the draft, I think I predicted that they would take Matt Corral from Mississippi. And I think I said if I were the GM, I would take Devontae Wyatt, defensive lineman from Georgia, who's with the Packers and hasn't done a ton in 2 years, but been a lot better than Matt Corral, who I think is playing in the UFL now. So I was way off. I was even further off probably than taking Pickett. So that was a tough year for them in the draft. I do remember thinking not a lot of positions that line up with your needs for the most part. And one of the big ones, I want to say, was tackle. And it was just a lot of the top ones were gone well before them. And a lot of the next tier of guys were going well below number 20.
I feel you. And I think that's where the Steelers, you take that risk when you go for a quarterback. You really take that risk when you go for any position. But when you're going for a quarterback and there's so many valuables there that just don't always add up, I kind of hear out your point there. I think
it was a very bad time to need a quarterback for the Steelers, for any team.
Right.
And it's crazy to look back and think, this time 2 years ago, Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert were hitting the pro day circuit hard at Pitt and Cincinnati and Ole Miss and Liberty, and really just trying to scour the globe for the quarterbacks that in Chapel Hill with Sam Howe, I believe, too. And I think by the end of it, I want to say Kevin Colbert admitted in their post-draft presser that Kenny Pickett was not the only quarterback they had in their top 20. He said they do their usual exercise of, we're picking 20th. We're going to list 20 guys we'd be comfortable taking. And I think his exact quote was something like, the quarterbacks were in there. Obviously, Kenny was at the top of their board. So they were clearly, they were clearly just not reading correctly the situation that year of the quarterback class.
Absolutely. He's Brian Batko. I'm Chris Carter. We're both of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com. We'll have more discussions on the Steelers draft plans as we move, get closer and closer to the draft. It's getting close to being a month away now, so it's pretty crazy. Find all of our work at post-gazette.com. Check out the Pittsburgh PG Big Board. And thanks again to Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar for 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are local. 80 of those local beers available on tap. We're back Monday here on the North Shore Drive podcast, but stay tuned every single day. We got new content coming out from all our different sports writers. It's going to be an awesome time Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday even too. And you can find us on your favorite podcasting app and on YouTube. We'll check you again here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.